Hello and welcome along. It's Andy, your host on this here podcast.
And welcome to part two with Punjab 2000's Tej Singh. And we covered an awful lot of ground last week, and I think this week's material is just as interesting, if not more. So sit back, enjoy. Thank you very much. And yeah, here he is, the big man himself, Tej Singh.
And those double-sided weddings always puzzled me. Apart from anything else, and I've said this, I've not said this on the podcast, but I've said it fair. I've said this a lot. 20 years down the line, when that couple come to watch their wedding film, and they've got two films, so they've got one from the bride's side, one from the groom. One of those films is just, they're going to sit there and think, why on earth did we waste our money on this? Because one of them can't fail to be better than the other, can it? Do you know what I mean? I never understood the mentality of the two-team idea.
I think it was more to do with each family wanting more personal photos and video of themselves, just themselves.
Okay.
So it's more focused on them.
Yeah.
And that used to work for them.
Yeah.
But for us, it was a headache because sometimes the light from the other side would be so bright, you know, you'd have to change your settings and everything. And and sometimes they'd flash it into your eyes just to make sure you missed the scene. Or, there's lots of silly
lots of
things.
There
definitely used to be.
In those times. And so Tony, you and Tony are still partners up through this point?
Yeah, so me and Tony were partners in terms of the shop, the music and everything, the website. He was always at the forefront.
Yeah.
I always stayed in the background.
Okay.
I would do the technical stuff with the website, with the data and everything. So that was my responsibility.
Yeah.
Then taking photos at events. He used to do that quite a lot. And if I was available, then I'd join him and we'd do that. And we started slowly filming the events as well.
Yeah.
And we've got lots of old footage from those days. One day I'll have to get it all out. And
you really should. You digitize it all and get it out there.
We've got some amazing content from those days.
Yeah.
So Tony, we set up a team. Basically, it was just friends. Tony's friends, my friends. And that was Punjab 2000, basically.
Yeah.
We set up t-shirts, the famous Punjab 2000 t-shirts.
No one
else has those. You can't have that because it used to allow you entry to any event.
Okay.
So, that t-shirt would take you up and down anywhere.
Right. So that was the equivalent of having a backstage pass laminate.
That's correct.
Days.
Yeah.
Wow.
We used to have a friend of ours called Kushti, and he used to run Kushti nights and Kushti gigs. So he used to drop off the flyers, and that's where it all really started. I thought, Tony, why don't we promote those flyers on our website as well? In exchange, you know, we'll put our logo on there and we'll post it on our page.
Yeah.
And that's where Punjab 2000 started getting known basically worldwide, especially in India and America, Australia, Europe as well now. So it's basically known worldwide because of the logo. The logo was created by a friend of Tony, Dinks.
Okay.
Back in the day, he was a graphic designer. So we were thinking, what should we do? I'll come back to the name in a minute. And he goes, Dinks can do it. And he designed this logo, and that logo and the colors have stayed evergreen since then.
It's all friends and friends and friends.
Friends,
isn't it?
Exactly. And it basically stems from Tony and his friends Electric.
Yeah.
In terms of the name, Punjab 2000 originated.
This is one I was going to ask you about because it does rather date you.
It does. It does. And it's great that it does, actually, because that way people still ask, how long have you been in business? I thought, hang on a minute. That's a giveaway. I wanted Punjab.com. Yeah. But that had been taken, obviously.
Yeah.
So the guy that used to do our website back in the day, the online catalog, his name is Chris. And he goes, well, what about Millennium Punjab 2000? Because that was the Millennium year, remember?
Yeah.
when everything was supposed to die or whatever was supposed to happen. But yeah, he goes, why don't you go with Punjab 2000? He goes, it rolls off the tongue.
It does.
And he goes, I can register it for you as well. Oh, okay, go do it. And Tony goes, no, let's think of something else. I said, Tony, let's run with it. We can always change it later. And you know what? It just stayed. He even, Tony made some T-shirts. His mate who was in Nottingham, Uppy. He was a good friend. Well, still is. And he had the first T-shirt made. A massive Punjab 2000, the Frontier.
Okay.
Oh, really? He goes, yeah, Tej, I love Punjab 2000. I'm going to do this.
Okay.
He did the first T-shirt. And it was just amazing. So after that, we made lots of T-shirts with Punjab 2000 for the team. We used to cover gigs. And the artists got to know us. Then slowly the Bollywood industry and the film industry started using us to promote their gig, their films and so on.
Yeah. I quite often see, particularly on Facebook, you're at this event or that event, you know, somewhere promoting. And that's the that's the core of, I guess, of what you do.
Yeah, we love that. We get the buzz. So going back to Kushpal and our photography days, so he's the one that got me into wedding, then the wedding industry.
Yeah.
And we were both working at the time. So I think it was back in 2015. Yes, 2015. He goes, Tej, I'm going to finish my work and I want to do this full time. Because he was an engineer.
Okay. What were you doing at this time?
I was IT.
Okay.
I was an IT officer with the IT project manager with the Leicestershire County Council.
Okay, so still with the council then?
Yeah, so I was earning good money. And it was all great. I was loving my job, but I was also loving filming.
Yeah.
And it was then he goes, Tej, I want to give this up and I want to really go into the wedding side. And I thought, okay, what shall we do? Suddenly it happened that the council was offering redundancy packages.
And, I'm very fortunate.
And I'd slowly become accustomed to weddings. And I used to love that, the buzz you'd get, because you got the receptions. What do you get there? The music.
Yeah.
The parties. And that was what used to really give us the buzz.
Yeah.
So I really wanted that.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, we have a choice between the job or this. So I thought, okay.
Sure.
Talking about racism, remember I was talking about racism. So in the council, I actually become the chair of the Black Workers Group.
Okay.
So I'd been doing that for a number of years at the council.
Interesting.
And it's more to do with fighting for other people's rights.
Yeah.
And I used to do that quite a lot. You know, we used to take on cases. I thought, okay, so fine. So I took the redundancy pack, and that's when I moved into the wedding market full time.
Yeah. Rush straight down the shop and get yourself half a dozen Canon 5Ds.
Well, I actually did that.
Yeah.
So I went off to Jacobs.
Yeah.
And I've got them on finance, by the way. I ain't going to spend my money. Let's get that on finance. But that was a bit later on, because way before that, I was inspired by Vince.
Okay.
Vince from Stormfields. Remember, I was talking about him?
Yeah.
And I used to love his films.
He
was top of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, his stuff in those days was amazing.
Yeah.
You know.
Because it was a fresh sort of cinematic look.
It was.
And it wasn't just sort of coverage.
Yeah. He was doing this fantastic trailers and the music used to be amazing. So yeah, he was my inspiration. And Kushpal, my photographer friend, he got us this wedding at the Royal Courts of Justice.
Yeah.
So that wedding was supposed to take us to the next level.
Yeah.
Because it was a prestigious venue. It was going to be the only second Asian wedding to be held at that venue.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, this is great. So we got the wedding and everything, and Kushpal basically goes to me, Tej, I'm just going to go to the hospital for a little operation, and then we're all sorted for that wedding. I said, okay. Unfortunately, Kushpal went to hospital and never came back.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, he passed away. And after that, he had put me in touch with his cousin. That is Mr. Manj Matharu.
Okay, right. Manj, the nicest man in the business.
He is the best. Yeah. I mean, amazing guy. And he took on that wedding in terms of the photography side.
Yeah.
So he did the photography, and I was looking for a video guy to do the video side to help me along, because it's going to be a massive wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a Hindu wedding.
Yeah.
I'd never really done Hindu weddings. But we had got the job because Kushpal's work in photography, and they liked what we did. And they were happy to go ahead because I think they were family friends as well. So they said, okay, let's do this. And that's when I got in touch with Vince. I goes, Vince, do you think you could help me with this? Because now I was taking on a big job.
Yeah,
I had
huge.
No experience. I also goes to Vince. I said, Vince, why don't you take the job on? I'll work for you.
Okay.
Vince goes, no chance, mate. And I goes, okay, how am I going to do this? He goes, okay, tell you what, I'll do this for you. It's the first time Vince, I think, freelanced then. I don't know. I'm sure it's first time he
certainly
did that.
Certainly very early days for that, yeah.
He freelanced. And then at the time, I got in touch with Max. Max, from the old days, was my Steadicam teacher, trainer.
Okay. Right.
He used to work for a company that used to do all the Steadicam training. So I'd been for a Steadicam training about a month before the wedding.
Hmm.
I thought, you know what? It's easier and cheaper to hire someone to do the Steadicam
than
for me to do it. And let me concentrate on what I need to do.
Yeah, frees you up to do.
So so I got Max and I got Vince. Vince was happy to do it. And then we got a crane guy to do the crane. So between us, we had all the video covered. But I still had my old video camera, Canon camera. And Vince goes, what? I goes, yeah, I've still got that. Because Vince used to use those as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So he goes, Vince goes, right, I think it's time you moved up to the Canons, the DSLR. I goes, Vince, I can't really do that. It's too much of a risk. He goes, I'm with you. Let's do this. So I went to Jessup's, bought one camera, 5D Mark II.
Yeah.
And two flashcards.
Yeah.
32 gig. I thought that would have been enough.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've got a laptop. I thought, you know, I can put one in, try and have the data transferred. Tony's going to be with me at the wedding, and he can do all the data transfer, no problem, from everyone. So we had all that covered, and everyone was on DSLRs apart from the crane. The crane was still on the HD camera.
Yeah.
I think it was
Z1E or Z7.
I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
So he was a chap called Bal Sahota in those days. He used to have a massive crane, by the way.
Yeah.
So, it was a 18 or 32 footer. I think. No, 24.
Yeah.
I think it was quite a big one And so we had a really good team for that wedding.
And how did that video turn out in the end, then?
It was really good in terms of the trailer and everything. That video, when we used to show it to my clients.
Yeah.
They thought, we've never seen this.
Yeah.
Anything like this.
Because you've got
I had the top end
imagery because of
I had the top operators.
And the top people.
I had Vince.
Yeah.
I had Max.
Yeah.
Max was a film guy.
Yeah.
He was an operator with films. He still operates the Steadicam, but I mean, his work and the kit he uses in terms of what he used to do then.
Yeah.
Used to be amazing because he used to be hired out by the film crew. So everything was top notch.
Wow. Have you still got a copy of it?
Yes, I do, yeah.
You ought to go back and have a look.
It's definitely one of those old ones, but it's definitely a great film.
That sort of brings me into one of those questions that it always pops up like every single time. And I know it's dull as ditch water, but is that the moment when you thought, hey, I've arrived, I'm doing it right?
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
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 That was supposed to make us.
Yeah.
That was supposed to take us forward, myself and Kush.
Yeah.
Because Kush said, right, we're going to put everything into this wedding and we're going to do this.
Yeah.
This will be our showcase. And that's what it turned out to be.
How
so
sad that he wasn't
we had Manj doing the photography, and then we had Sati You met Sati, haven't you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
so, yeah, he's from a studio for photography. He's another inspiration, by the way, for me. He used to do all the Bhangra showdowns,
okay.
The gigs that used to happen, the university gigs.
Yeah,
I used to look at those images and I thought, amazing. That's fantastic stuff, because I used to love Bhangra and that was music. So he was an inspiration, and we tried for many years to get into that scene. It just didn't happen because he was into it, and there was another company that I can't remember, they used to do that, and we just couldn't make that connection.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, Sati stopped doing it because of his workload, and then we got into that. So we started, we're still doing that to this day.
Mrs. Singh, sitting at home,
yes.
Is she happy that you've taken this course after all the years that this kept? So you're doing a daytime job with the council, you're coming home at 5 p.m. or whatever, it's just, and you're away a bit of weekends, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm blessed to have Tavinda. She has put up with a lot in terms of time, you know, and so have the kids. I've missed out quite a lot.
Yeah.
In terms of daddy time.
Yeah.
Hubby time. Because we're away at weekends, and in fact, Kush, my photographer friend, he goes, Tej, me and you spend the most time at Premier Inn than I do with my wife.
Yeah, we do.
So, she's been very patient.
Yeah.
She's happy. But obviously, there's times when she says, we need to be going on holiday. But when I was in the council, we actually did lots of holidays.
Yeah.
Went abroad, local holidays with the kids. So up to the age of like 10, 12, the kids had everything then.
Sure.
And I think naturally after that, the kids have their own friends and they do their own things.
Yeah, they're less inclined to want to go to Disneyland or whatever it might be.
So we've done all that. But yeah, Mrs. Singh definitely not very happy sometimes. You're off and again. Sometimes she doesn't even know where I am.
Yeah.
She'll ring up and say, right, you didn't ring me to tell me you've arrived. Oh, I forgot.
I get the same.
She does it every time. She goes, look, I get worried. You know, you're away for the whole day and you haven't rang me to say you've actually got to your destination.
I get a WhatsApp that just says, have you arrived yet?
No, she doesn't want that. She wants me to ring her.
Okay.
Oh, I can't sometimes. You know, you get to a destination and even like here.
Yeah.
We've got here and we've just carried on, haven't we?
We have.
So there hasn't been any time to do anything else.
No, that's right.
So, yeah. So in terms of family time, my immediate family, Mrs., Mum, Dad and everything. So, yeah, weekends, birthdays, I've missed so many times. August, I've always missed my nephew's birthday because it's in July. My dad's birthday is tomorrow. Okay. Sometimes it happens that it's on the weekend, so it's in August.
Yeah.
So August time for us is quite busy.
Of course it is.
So missed lots of birthdays in August.
Just breaking in, usual thing, half-time interruption from me just to ask, and a few of you are now, so I'm grateful for that, thank you. But if you are listening and enjoying what you're listening to, then please spread the word. Not just in the Asian market, but far and wide. I think everyone's got an interesting story to tell, and I want to get those stories out there. So please share the Wedding Professionals podcast on all social media channels. It's available on every podcast platform you can mention. Send it out there. Let's get people listening. Thank you very much. Let's get back to Tej.
So as the big granddaddy of the Asian wedding videography and photography business, have you got an eye on retirement or?
I was actually thinking about it the other day, and I've been thinking about it because, one of our freelance operators, mentioned no names, but he goes, Ted, you lot need to be hiring us. You know, and you just need to sit back and watch us do the stuff.
Yeah.
I thought, you bastard. I go, no, you know what? I say, you're right. We've still got it.
Yeah.
We've still got the stamina. But yes, it is slowly getting there. It is getting to us. Because in the old days, we used to drive. You know, we could drive all night.
Of course you can.
No problem. But nowadays, got to take a break and just keep it safe. Take a break. You know, the long distance travels, because some of our weddings can be really long.
Yeah.
They can be 16, 17 hours weddings.
I've done them with you in Southampton, and that's a slog in itself all the way down there. And if you've got a bride that's, or a groom that's from Hounslow,
Glasgow.
And they do happen like that, don't they, from time to time.
Definitely retirement is there, but it's a different kind of retirement, which is you take a back seat, let the team now handle things.
Yeah.
And that's the option that's more favorable to me.
Yeah.
Because I still enjoy the editing process.
Okay.
So, you can still retire and still do work.
Yeah, of course you can.
Yeah,
but at least I suppose you'd have that time at home, wouldn't you? You know.
Yeah, I mean, that time at home has always been there. You see, I've always been at home. Even when I was at the council, I used to work 3 days a week at home.
Okay.
So I was, I think, one of the first ones at the council to do working from home.
Yeah. We didn't talk about your work there, representing people that were subject to racism. And and you sort of said that made you some enemies along the way. How successful were you in, as you look back on it now, how successful would you say you were in helping fight that whole, that whole scene?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the group went strength to strength.
Yeah.
I was able to persuade the powers that be to let the employees take time off to attend the meetings, to put across their points, and if they are attending the meetings, that they shouldn't be looked or frowned upon.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
That it is a legitimate part of the business that they are able to attend the meetings, because the outcome of those meetings affects the way they work in their workplace.
Yeah.
And there's been lots of great outcomes out of that. In terms of treatment of staff, in terms of the way the black workers were looked upon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had lots of success, and I was quite happy with that. And also in encouraging in terms of applying for job roles, it was very successful.
Yeah.
Because we were able to create an atmosphere of pushing yourself forward.
Yeah.
Because I had started in the authority as an IT assistant, moved up to IT officer, became a IT project manager.
Yeah.
So when you look at career progression,
yeah,
that's how you then encourage people to say, look, this is what you can do.
And also, I guess, just encouraging a change of mindset in the management as well.
Absolutely. And we did that through a series of meetings, because I ended up being on the steering groups. So in terms of outcomes, definitely encourage a lot of the members to apply for the jobs that they really want to, and how to apply for them, and how to go through the interview process.
Yeah.
Because I used to sit on the interview panels as well.
Okay.
So from there, then you begin to learn how to conduct yourself and what to do.
Yeah. Do you think management were overtly racist, or do you think they just didn't know how to handle it, or if it should be handled, or was it their place to handle it?
I think it was. It's a question of, I think it's a bit of both, isn't it? It's a combination of all these factors.
Yeah.
And they all come to play when mistreatment of staff happens.
Yeah.
It's not just the local authority, it happens in small businesses, big businesses, it just happens everywhere.
But it's for the upper management to take the middle management to task and have the nerve to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things. It is obviously now dying.
Yeah.
There is less and less of it.
Yeah.
Because what's happening is the youngsters now are studying with every type of religion, every type of person, black, white, and so on. So they're all growing up together.
Yes.
And also their mindset is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I think in English. I don't think in Punjabi.
Okay.
Yeah?
Right.
So when you look at me, you will probably look as there's a Sikh guy. And when I look at myself, I don't see that Sikh guy.
No, I don't see that. I just see a guy that I work with. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so
But I think you've got a fair point. Yeah. I think a lot of people, if you walk down the street with your turban on, people are just going to go, there's a Sikh guy.
Can you even speak? Can he even speak or think in English?
Yeah.
But not knowing that this guy, all he does, he dreams and speaks in English in his brain. Obviously, that's obviously to do with our upbringing, missionary schools and all that. So brought up in the Western culture.
Yeah.
But we're still Punjabi, we're Sikhs. And, you know, that's still there. So in terms of coming back to your point about racism, it is quite difficult to know who to blame apart from looking at the history of the colonial past, isn't it? So that's where it comes back to say, okay, that's where it actually originated from.
Yeah, because I think in Kenya particularly, was it not the British that brought the Indians in to build the railways?
Yes.
But I've been to that Gurdwara in Nairobi, the oldest one.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, if it is a Singh Sabha one, the foundation stones of that were laid by my great, on my mum's side, grandfather.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It was 1903?
I can't remember
like
now, yeah.
They were immensely proud of when I was there. But what a chill place. Yeah. And I'll tell you something else as well that I found in Kenya. But what amazed me was the interlacing of people and cultures is seamless. And yet in the UK, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, you find that here as well. So a lot of people refer to us as the Kenya Sikhs.
Yeah.
Because of our turban, the style and everything.
Yeah.
Our thinking and our cultural thinking about the next religion is different to what maybe someone from India will have.
Okay.
And again, it's because of the way they've been brought up there.
Yeah.
In Kenya, they all came together for a common cause, which was the railways.
Yeah.
So they all had to work together.
Yeah.
And of course, they're away from their homes.
Yeah.
So the only friends they have is each other.
Yeah.
So hence the communal bond.
Yes.
And acceptance of each other's religion.
Yeah.
So in those days, and in fact, even my mom, although she's a Sikh, she used to practice the Hindu customs.
Really?
A lot. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And you'll find a lot of people from Kenya.
Yeah.
They have been brought up with Hindu customs and a lot of other cultures, traditions will have been brought in.
Fascinating.
So things like don't eat meat on Tuesdays or Thursdays or don't wash your hair. So those superstitions have crept in into the family.
Okay.
They were good, they're bad. It depends on how you look at it. So with things like that, it's whatever you want to accept and bring in. It also allows for a bit of, what's the word for it? Respect for each other's religion.
Sure.
Yeah. So long as it doesn't degrade your own, then what's wrong with it? Nothing.
Yeah, true enough. Yeah. True enough.
So yeah, definitely coming to your point, in Kenya, the communities definitely used to live together harmoniously.
Yes.
Yeah. My dad, who was a headmaster, he had lots of different faith teachers in the school.
Okay.
And they all used to eat at our house.
Yeah.
So my dad had a house, the very first school he was the headmaster of, we were given accommodation and we used to live in the school premises. And all the teachers would come at the weekends and mum would cook food and everything and we'd have, my birthdays used to be there. I mean, on my 16th birthday, I remember we had two huge goats. Barbecued, you know. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
And it's being rolled on fire and everything and a proper barbecue happening and all you have to eat with that is salt.
Okay.
Salt and pepper and nothing else.
Really? Okay.
And all the teachers are there. All my dad's friends are there, you know.
So bringing us bang up to date then, unfulfilled ambitions. Anything that you wished you'd done or have yet to do, even though you've got one eye possibly on a sort of semi-retirement, anything where you sort of think, I'd like to do that before?
Well, I wish I'd gone into the wedding industry earlier.
Yeah, I do.
And in terms of the team and so on, probably had a bigger team, set up premises and so on. That would have been ideal.
Yeah.
But then it just never happened, and I got comfortable with that. So that's maybe something we can still do as approaching retirement.
Expanding the brand, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of other plans, in terms of the online business, is again something that we needed to have pushed Punjab 2000 more, sort of in terms of selling goods and services, that we never actually used it for monetary gain. And we should have.
Yeah.
Because the potential is huge.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that we haven't done. Something I want to do personally for the community, and I think it's the first time I'm probably going to say this.
Exclusive. Come on then.
So, been looking at setting up the Sikh bank.
Okay.
So, this was an ambition back, dating back.
I can almost sense everybody leaning in to listen a little bit closer.
Yeah, so this was something I wanted to do when I got hit by, I think, financial situation with the Barclays Bank. They wouldn't give me a loan back in the day many, many, many years ago because I'd now finished work.
Yeah.
So I was self-employed.
Yeah.
And hang on a minute, I've been paying into you thousands for so many years.
Yeah.
You know, for 25 years of my life, I've been paying into you. And you're now saying, because I'm self-employed, you can't give me a loan? Why?
Yeah,
I've got still enough money in the bank. I can use that, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when I thought, what's this all about? So that's when the foundations of the Sikh bank were sort of laid. And I thought, one day I'm going to set up a Sikh bank. That will help the community.
It would, yeah.
That would help people like myself back in the day to say, okay, actually, we know you personally. Yeah. We think you can afford to pay back whatever we give you. We can take securities against whatever you have and let you flourish. If I had had that money then, maybe I would have been at a different level. I don't know. But the finance and financial institutions can accelerate people's growth in business. And if you have it at the time that you need it, then you can fly.
Yeah.
And I hope I can do that for the community one day.
What an ambition. That's amazing. Yeah.
It is something big.
Yeah.
And we're going to try and push it.
Good man.
We're going to try and push it.
Good man.
And let's make it happen one day.
Absolutely. I really hope it works out. I really hope it does for you. So how do you see today's wedding industry then? Because like you sort of said earlier, with the loss of double-sided weddings so much, we don't get to see people quite so much as maybe we used to. So how do you see the industry at the moment?
The industry at the moment is obviously growing. It's definitely growing.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've had the setbacks with Corona and everything.
Yeah.
In terms of finances and so on, that's obviously slowed down the industry slightly.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely been a slowdown in business. I think it's affected ourselves, everyone, the catering industry, everyone in the hospitality industry has been affected by that.
Sure.
But that is slowly going to get better.
Yeah.
But going back to the actual quality of weddings, the cinema side, the photography side, that has grown. I mean, the creativity is huge. I mean, if you compare the wedding films of today and the wedding films of many, many years ago,
yeah,
even 10 years ago,
where I was getting to.
the quality of the film, the style of the film, that's all changed.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with the freelance market.
Okay.
And the individuals themselves.
Okay.
They have obviously aspired to do better in terms of the techniques,
yeah,
the camera equipment, and a lot of them have learned the skills that are necessary in terms of the editing side, the color grading, the sound design, so that things have changed.
Hmm.
And the quality that we are getting nowadays is tremendous.
I think coronavirus did knock out a lot of the chances that were in the business, for sure. A lot of the people that were left were those ones that were totally dedicated to doing what we do for a living. And the likes of Manny Pablo, for instance.
Yes.
You know, it's just that man's got more skill in his little finger than I have in my entire body. But
yeah,
it's just, it is astonishing how good some videographers are.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about Manny Pablo. Manny used to work with us.
Yeah.
He was one of our best freelancers.
Yeah.
Him and Big Manny, as we used to call him. They were both a team.
Yeah.
So they were with me from, I think, 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, probably.
And does it and give you...
You were with us with most weddings.
Yeah.
And there were fantastic times. I mean, we were at weddings every weekend, every other weekend, and there were great times. The quality of filming that Manny used to produce then for us was amazing.
Mm.
I learned a lot from him. He learned a lot from being left to do what he does best.
Yeah.
We didn't say you need to do this or need to do that. Just get us
you
the
trust
best.
Him to do. Yes. Yeah.
And he would deliver.
One of the hardest working guys in the business, I think.
Yeah, and we just get on, do the job.
Yeah.
And no issues with him at all.
Yeah.
They would just work as a team. Big Manny would take the photos or the video, and both of them would be, say, maybe on the bride's side or on the groom's side, and there's just me on one end, me and Manj on the other side, and that's it.
And then there's photographers like Manj. I mean, like we mentioned him earlier on, you know, and Push, just... Nice is a horrible word, but lovely people, you know what I mean, as well as being highly skilled in what they do.
Exactly, and that helps so much.
Yeah.
Because you then don't have to worry about the technical aspects of your kit. What you're then doing is using your communication skills with your clients, making their day, making them happy.
Yeah.
Making memories with them.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just doing an album last week, and I looked at the album pages, and there's two photographs with Manj in them. Where did that happen?
Yeah.
And there's Manj, the photographer. He's made such a bond with the family. The bride has chosen two images with Manj in them and her sisters, and hopefully we'll be doing the sisters' wedding next year.
Fantastic.
So... it's those communication skills that you then bring into the wedding industry that really make you sort of amazing enough.
I think it is super satisfying when, I mean, on a much, much, much smaller scale, I did a white wedding last year for a bride and groom, and when she'd sort of seen the first trailer, she just messaged me and, Andy, you made me look like a film star. Thank you very much. And it's just like, those little comments are priceless, I think, when you know you've fulfilled the brief and you've had a great time doing it as well.
And when you probably looked at it yourself, you thought, okay, yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's just like, yeah, I've done a reasonable job.
What did I do there?
Yeah.
I thought I was just doing my job.
Yeah. But we do leave a lasting legacy, I think, with people, and that's it's very good.
And I think that's one of the strap lines for Cinefied Ear Films, which is reliving your memories. Reliving memories, that's what we say.
Yeah.
Because the game is make sure you've filmed the wedding properly.
Yeah.
And then so that your clients can sit back one day and enjoy that.
Yeah.
Not only enjoy that, because you've captured not just the memories, you've captured imagery of people that might not be there in maybe a year's time.
This has come up before, and I think this is the prime reason I love doing what we're doing. And I will always focus, you know, when there's an auntie in a wheelchair or the old fella that's on sticks, and I will always, if I can, get the camera right down, because that person may not be there, like you say, in a year's time. And we're the ones that are preserving their memory like that.
And it's quite hard to do. It's actually quite hard to film them, because a lot of them will be sitting in the shadows.
Yeah.
Basically because they can't get up to come forward.
I did a wedding a few months ago now, and there was obviously a grandmother, great-grandmother possibly, and she was in a wheelchair, and one of the bride's sisters brought the wheelchair onto the dance floor, and she was just sort of stick in the air. And you know what? It was joyous. Because everybody sort of crowded around her, and everybody was having a great time, and she was having the time of her life as well. And I got my camera on it, and I just thought, that's the moment.
And this is the thing. You see, our job is such a responsible job that you have to make sure you've covered the right elements and right aspects of that wedding.
Yeah.
You have people in the industry that do it in a different way. They do it in a creative way, and they do a storytelling. Some do it in a documentary fashion. So there's various levels and various styles of filming that you have.
Hmm.
We tend to film so mostly in a documentary style, whereby everything is recorded and everything is given back to the family.
Yeah.
And a lot of that now has changed. The families are saying, okay, you've given us that. Now let's cut that down to half an hour or an hour.
Sure.
So we offer both now.
Yeah.
It's more so that if you've got families, guests coming in or whatever, and they want to watch it for half an hour or, you know, 10 minutes or 15 minutes, you've got a shorter version of the whole film.
Mm.
So that definitely helps in terms of the viewing.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, we've done good, I think. And it's time for the final question. You know what the final question is, don't you?
No, I don't, actually. See,
I've said it before, and I've said it again. This is when we prove who's actually listened to the podcast before.
I haven't, actually. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sure I listened to Atul's one.
Oh, yeah, Atul's.
I've listened to Atul's one.
So the final question is, if I could, let's take you back 10 years, and magically I've given you the skills and the tools and the equipment and the mind to do any other job within the wedding industry, what would you choose?
I wouldn't choose anything apart from what I currently do.
No, you're not allowed to say the same thing that you do now.
Okay, so what would I choose?
Any other job within the wedding industry?
I don't. That's a hard one, Andy. Apart from being the CEO.
Do you know, I 100% thought you'd say DJ.
No. I like to view things with the helicopter view.
Okay.
So if it was a job, it would be the CEO.
Okay.
I think that's what leads me into the retirement plan.
Yeah.
I want to sit back and get the team in and let them do the work, but still oversee that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, sorry, Andy.
My only failure. Actually, well, it's not a failure, but because you have said something, so that's good.
No, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Fantastic.
If I had wanted to be a DJ, then I would have gone down that route. No, it's not something. I think Push used to be a DJ.
Yeah.
And he's changed that. But no, I don't think there's anything else I'd want to be. Having come from an IT project management side and IT, it's more hands-on approach thing that I've done all my life.
Yeah.
So I now want to maybe take a back seat on that.
As you look back, are you content with where you're at?
No, nobody would be. I think majority of people would still want to push that slightly more.
Yeah.
Definitely not. Happy with what we're doing.
Yeah.
like to do more.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, thank you for coming down today, and because I know it, I always say it, and it's always a challenge getting people, but particularly at this busy time in August. So thank you so much for your time and an hour and a half chat, which is record breaking. So I may break it into two episodes, who knows? But thank you. Thank you so much.
No, it's been a pleasure, Andy. Thank you very much. But you've still not had any of the cashew nuts.
I can't eat on recording though. Thank you.
All right. That's great, Andy.
Cheers, mate.
So there you go. That was a long one, wasn't it? But well worth it, I think. A lot of very interesting stuff came out, stuff that I got no clue about whatsoever. Thank you for joining me, dear listener. See you soon. Bye.